Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is supposed to be an epic night. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? We will find out tonight on the show. It's going to be crazy and it's going to be fun. It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show tonight, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Are you ready?
Welcome, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here on the Rad Reality Show tonight. This is March 15th, 2012. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'd like to have you talk with Paul from Minnesota up here on the phone line with me. We've all been teasing you for a while now about this show, haven't we, Paul?
Yeah, we have. And as Ron said, yes, Ron, I am ready.
And we all are ready for the show tonight. We've been working on this for a while. We do have a nice surprise for all of our listeners. Just before I do anything else, I want to mention that I am in the middle of a huge thunderstorm here in St. Louis, Missouri. So should I go completely away and drop off, you'll know that I have lost power here in St. Louis. So I hope that doesn't happen. But before I go any further, I wanted to mention that. Hopefully that won't happen during tonight's show. But I have a clip that I'm going to play, and I think this might give you a little clue as to who our guest will be tonight.
Coach Wade's foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Okay. Let's ask the people in the chat room, who do you think the guest is?
Hey, hopefully, and I will say this on the air now that we have revealed the secret and everybody will know
momentarily.
Go ahead and pass the word and get the word out, and we'll some
start
more people
doing some tweeting. But that's not the entire secret.
It is.
We're going to, no, that's not the entire secret. We're going to play one more clip. And here we go.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Welcome, Coach Wade, to Dragon Slayer Radio, episode one.
I love it. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're great. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm ready to slay this thing. Well, let's do it.
Let's slay this thing.
I am so tickled that you've agreed to be a regular host on our Survivor Recap. We feel very honored to have you on every week. It's so nice for you to do this for us.
Hey, I remember, you know, I told you guys this, but my favorite, I know this will probably piss off some of the other radio hosts out there. I shouldn't go on record as saying this, but I will. You know, my favorite interview that I've done on radio since this whole Survivor thing began was when I did the Rad Reality Show for the first time, and it was an amazing experience. You know, I really felt like everything came together for that evening, and I was honored to be on the show. And when you guys asked me to host and do it every week, and, you know, I've got this name, Dragon Slayer Radio, kicking around in my head. I've been thinking about this for a good part of a year, and, you know, I'm just really excited about what we're going to be doing week after week.
We're so excited, too, Coach. I was so thrilled when you said yes. I can't tell you, knowing how much Ron adored you and, you know, the relationship the two of you had, it was such an honor to know that you'd be joining us every week. Yeah, I just can't tell you what it means to us and to our listeners.
Well,
I mean, our listeners,
yes,
you know, just love you and have all, we've always had great numbers when you were going to be with us, and our listeners love you, so I know this is going to be a great thing for all of us, and we were just so honored when you said you'd do this, so I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have to say those are awfully kind words to say about, and they're truthful words, I believe, about your experience with Ron on his show. I know it was true, and it was heartfelt, and you didn't really know him that well at the time, but knowing him as I did and talking with him, that just made such an impact on him for all the hard work that he had been doing over the years, and it was approaching his anniversary show, and for you to say those things to him, you can't believe the spirit, how it raised his spirits. And he often would play a little short clip on subsequent shows because it was had such an impact on him. So I thank you.
You got to be at the right place and the right time in this life. You know, I feel like when God has blessed me with an inordinate amount of opportunities, you got to be at the right place at the right time, but you also have to be faithful to step through that door with both feet and to not have any intrepidation or fear, and to take those opportunities as they come. You know, when you feel a peace about something in your heart to do it, then you've got to seize that moment and do that. And that's why, you know, Sherry, when you contacted me not too long ago, I've had a lot of people approach me to do some radio shows and to host this or host that, and I just didn't feel like it was the right place at the right time. But our time is now, baby, and
so
we're going to do this.
I'm so, so happy. I can't tell you what it means to me. I'm just so thrilled. I'm so excited. I can't tell you how excited I am.
Good.
Let's slay this thing. I love the name. I love the feeling that it has, the energy it has, and I know it's going to be a great thing every week. So
yep.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Good.
Nobody knows Survivor like you do.
Well, maybe some people do, but I think I have a really good handle on it. You know, playing three times has really given me a unique perspective. And to go into it three different times, you know, when you look at other people that have played the game three times, Boston Rob, for example, he's played the game three times, tried to play it, you know, actually four times, tried to play it all the same way each time. Poverty, same way each time. You know, she's a flirt, and she brought that into the game. Russell tried to play the game three times the same way. And I played the game three unique times. I came in the first time, and I wanted to be the most polarizing, dynamic character that tried to speak truth and tried to coach people. And that's how I did it the first time. The second time, I just thought, you know, I want people to see the sensitive side of me. I want people to see that I'm a real human being. And the third time I came out there, I went out there to win. And, you know, so I feel like going into it with a different perspective, prepping for it differently each time, training differently for it mentally, physically, emotionally, each time has given me a pretty good perspective on the game. And, you know, I will confess, before I got that first casting call in 2008 in the late spring, early summer, I hadn't watched the show maybe three episodes my whole life. And as I started going through casting and I kept asking them to give me season after season, I was watching, you know, 13 straight episodes in an evening all through the night during my casting process down in L.A., and I couldn't wait to get on the show. Now I'm completely addicted to it. And, you know, Wednesday comes, and I'm just like all those other awesome, you know, 13 million live viewers that watch it across America. I get so excited for Wednesday, and I talk about it to people that watch it, and I talk about it to my wife and just say, you know, man, you know, it's going to be a great episode. What's going to happen? And I found myself actually at times yelling at the screen and just really getting into it. And it's really cool to have that insider's view and to know that the longevity of the game and the longevity of my interest in it is always going to be a constant.
I wish I could have heard you and what you were saying last week when the entire team gave up immunity.
I just, you know, I was scratching my head. This season, you know, I mean, probably how we should start is just for me to kind of give my thoughts on the season up to this point, and
I would,
you know,
love
we can
that.
Talk about it and that kind of thing. You know, in the very beginning, I think I had an interview with TVGuide.com, and I told them that we had the Tool Academy early on. It was, you know, Jay was in that, and Bill was in that, and of course, you know, Colton was on the outs with that. And everybody knows the alliances, you know. But with Matt being the tool, the main tool in the Tool Academy, you know, it was funny because one of the first things that he said with his legs spread open as far as he could go so that we could all, you know, try to guess that he was really a true man. Every interview that he did, he had his legs like as far open as they could go. And he was sitting there postulating and saying, oh, you know what, we got this game, we're in control of this game. We got a solid four. We got me. We got, you know, Michael. We got, you know, Bill. And we got Jay. And I was like, wait a second. Didn't you guys watch this last season that I was on? I said that if you make an alliance on day one and you have five people in a tribe of nine, right? You need five people in a tribe of nine. You need, you know, five people in a tribe of eight. And you need four people in a tribe of seven. It blew my mind that right in the very beginning, people are making cardinal mistakes. And I was scratching my head really just saying, wow, what a bunch of amateurs.
Very,
it was really surprising
very,
in the beginning.
Very faulty logic. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm going, wait a minute, guys. At the beginning, it's a numbers game. It is a numbers game. You are a team. You know, what the heck is wrong with you?
Yep.
And
now, go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to say it didn't take very long for that mistake to bite him in the butt.
Sure, you know, and I was actually talking the episode that he was sitting there saying, "Oh, I've got we've got four people," and I remember saying, "I hope somebody." I said it out loud. I said, "I hope somebody gets the misfits together." And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, I was pulling for Leaf. And for Troyzan and Tarzan, you know, I was pulling from them in the very beginning, and I was like, you know, get these guys together. You know, I was really hoping that Troyzan wouldn't sway over to that because he's kind of like an in-betweener, right? He's, you know, fit. I mean, I'm blown away that he's 50. And, He's fit. You know, he's very good looking for his age, and he can. I think that he can relate to both young and old. And so I thought that maybe they would be able to snag him into the Tool Academy with Matt and his boys. But fortunately, they didn't. Fortunately, he was able to kind of see that they had that real alpha male thing going, and to go with the more sensible tribe. You kind of saw, though, with the women disintegrating and arguing with each other, and Patty the Puerto Rican, I call her, what's her name? Patty,
Alicia.
Her name is, Alicia, yeah.
Alicia.
So I call her, yeah, Alicia. I call her Patty the Puerto Rican, so, you know, she's arguing with Christina, and I'm just thinking there's no way that these girls are going to be able to win challenges, because one of the things that you don't see on either side is a true leader that wants to step up and lead for the tribe, not for themselves. You know, Matt wanted to step up and lead for himself. Colton is, quote, stepping up. He's not leading, but he is leading them with their votes, obviously, and obviously we're going to get into Colton down the road when we talk about this episode. But, you know, I mean, nobody is emerging as a leader. And when we go back to last season with Redemption, we had a tribe of misfits, and the other team had a tribe of Aussie's team of really, good challenge, you know, really good challenge competitors. And I really felt like the reason why our team was able to get to the merge with numbers is because we had unselfish leadership that was really trying to, yes, protect the alliance, but also, you know, going into challenges unified with a clear-cut plan. And so, you know, obviously that kind of turned on its ear. The women started winning some challenges, started to get a little bit of confidence, because who knew that with Colton, the poison apple, that team was completely cannibalizing itself from within.
And when you talk about leaders, and I had the same impression of the women's tribe. I thought, oh, my God, they are a hot mess, and they are going to get eaten alive. But then Sabrina actually stepped up, and I feel that she's doing a pretty good job in her leadership role that she accepted.
Yes, I agree. She did. She is what you don't see, and what I'd like to see is I'd like to see how she operates in challenges, but they really haven't given us, you know, that much. They haven't given us that much of a piece of that part of the puzzle. So it would be interesting to see if she's actually leading them in challenges. In other words, saying, okay, you know, I want you to go here, and Alicia, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, because, you know, you only have about a minute to strategize once Jeff tells you the layout of the challenge, and you need to have somebody there saying, this is how we're going to do this challenge.
Right. I have to just touch on one thing about your season. I do not remember another season that started off alternating wins from one tribe to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. I can't remember. How many weeks did that happen?
It actually happened the entire time, because we won the first challenge. They won the second, we won the third, they won the fourth, we won the fifth, they won the sixth. And it went back and forth so that it was even numbers, and then because we had won the first challenge, it came back around again that odd number was the challenge right before the merge where we beat them on the Jack and Jill challenge where we were blindfolded, and that put us into the merge numbers up.
Those blindfold challenges I always enjoy. They're tough. And, you know, the dynamics of them, and to listen and to have a good, you know, director and all that. Some of the repeat challenges from season to season, I don't really care that much about, but that one I do enjoy. It's just fun to watch. It's not fun to see people hurt themselves bumping into the railings and stuff. But
well, it's a little bit comical.
It sucks to do.
Those challenges suck to go out there and put the blindfold on, or to be calling, you know, to be yelling as loud as you can yell. And, of course, Jeff Probst is usually nearer to the people that you're calling to, and he's yelling the whole time. So it's definitely...
Right. You've got to try to yell over Jeff Probst. And
yeah. Definitely a chaotic environment.
I can imagine. It's got to be. I don't know. She seems to be, Sabrina seems to be, you know, really taking control of the tribe, but, you know, like Paul said, back at the camp. And somebody had to. I mean, the tribe was a hot mess there for a while. And once she seemed to get her head on straight and say, okay, I'm going to try to be the leader of this tribe, it seemed to calm down. I think once they got the tarp and were able to get warm and have a little stability without being wet, too, I think that helped a little bit. Because they were just miserable in the rain and not having any comfort, you know, to go to. The men wouldn't let them have any embers for fire. They had no tarp to stay dry. They had nothing. So I think once they got a little bit of that going and Sabrina to take a little bit of leadership, I think they started seeing, okay, now we're playing the game. Now we're right. getting some motion going and we see our path. But there sure. for a few days, they were really a hot mess. Then it seemed to take a turn for the worse for the guys, and they seemed to, you know, implode on themselves.
Right, yeah. Before we get to that, I want to make a point kind of piggybacking off of your last point, and that was about the sharing. I was completely, if I want to use Jay's terminology, bum puzzled or whatever he used, which was the title of last week's episode. You know, I was completely blown away in the first two episodes that nobody wanted to share with the other tribe. I understand that you're competing, okay? I understand that you don't want to, you know, kick a ball in your own goal to start a game so that you're down 1-0 because you're helping the other tribe like that. But, you know, I mean, you've got to have some sense of chivalry and fairness. And I was completely blown away. The women actually started it when they caught the chickens and they refused to share them with the men's tribe. And the men said, hey, we'll give you this for that. And the women said no, and they were catty about it. And that really sealed their fate early on. I was really surprised. And then, you know, it's only natural that when the women come and ask the guys for, you know, actually there was a look for a while that the women weren't asking the guys. They were just coming over and standing around the fire no matter what. And I was just really scratching my head for two reasons. You've got to have some semblance of fairness just for humanity's sake, you know, because we're not talking about giving somebody an extra helping of refried beans at a Mexican restaurant. You know, we're talking about what feels like life and death out there when you're getting 30 minutes of sleep because you're rained on the entire night and you're freezing cold, or, you know, on the guy's hand where you really haven't had any protein for, you know, 3 or 4 days. Anyway, I got a lot of stuff to cover, so let me just bang through this because I'm actually thinking about more stuff. But I was surprised, not only for humanity's sake, but also for the fact that down the road, you're going to merge with these people, and down the road, you're going to have to have people vote for you. There's not one person right now in the entire Survivor One World cast that is playing for the end game, and that blows my mind. Colton is playing the game, and he's the only person playing the game at this point. And so for that, I have to give him some type of respect. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his condescending nature. For all the reasons that America hates him, I respect the fact that he is the only person out there really trying to play the game, but he's playing it so wishy-washy that he's going to get caught in his own delusions of grandeur. But I'm just surprised that nobody's playing for the end game right now. Nobody's playing to get jury votes to try to smooth the way for the future.
And you know, people look for reasons to vote for somebody, and they will remember early on, and they will have, okay, I still have this reason, you know, to put this person's name down. But I think it also, the non-sharing spoke to the lack of leadership in the beginning. Nobody wanted to risk pissing their fellow members off and all that type of thing. But, yeah, right. That could come back to bite them.
Yep. I think it definitely will. So let's, since we brought up Colton, let's talk about why he is successful at the moment in completely running the tribes that he's been on. And it's going to be to his own detriment because, you know, like this last night when he voted out, you know, he had everybody vote out, you know, the one player that made the goal that reminded me of Heroes and Villains when I was the only person scoring points for my team on challenges after Boston Rob left, and they voted me out. And then it was just obviously they're going to get, you know, picked off one by one after that. But in my opinion, the reason why Colton is being successful is that in the beginning you had some strong personalities like Matt and Michael, and they had confidence with Bill and, you know, they're going to run the show. So they were very strong as to what they wanted to do. Colton had another group of people with Leaf and Troy Zan and Tarzan that really don't seem to have a strategical bone in their body. So it's kind of the Sandra moment of, hey, as long as it's not me, I'm okay.
I'm so glad you brought that up. In fact, I wrote it on my notes that I was going to mention that there seemed to be a lot of people that were playing kind of the Sandra game. And, yeah, that group that he joined, that Colton joined, those four other guys, none of them, they were just eager to follow anybody and stay off the radar.
Yep, exactly. And so when you have the personality of people like that, it's going to enable Colton to have that little bit of power. I mean, any all-star season, any veteran season with people playing out there, because look, you know, when I started watching the first couple of episodes of every season, I sit there and shake my head and say, what a bunch of amateurs. But guess what? We were all amateurs at the game of Survivor at one point or another. And so you can't be too hard on them. But the simple fact that on an all-star season, if we saw one person going to the women's tribe, they would have been off first, and we would have flushed the idol. If we would have thought he had the idol, we would have flushed the idol, split the votes like we've done many times, and then voted him out next. His longevity in the game would have been absolutely zero. But I've got to give him credit because he's playing the game too much, but he is playing the game, and he's getting votes to go his own way. And that brings up another point. When you look at last week, the fact that he was able to get his entire tribe to say, okay, we'll go to tribal council, a survivor first, when the men had won immunity. That is one of the stupidest things that I've ever seen in the game of Survivor, and I think that it's going to come back to haunt all of the men, and I think that with Colton doing that, there had to have been some serious things going on behind the scenes. I personally think that they sat down with Leaf, bum-rushed him, and said, Leaf, you did this, you need to forever be our dog, so to speak. You're going to forever be loyal to us, and you're going to confess tonight at tribal council, and then we probably won't vote you out, but you have to come clean, and you have to kind of go through this type of purgatory, you know, so that's what I think.
I think that, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. I'm trying to be a little busy in the background here and posting and tweeting and doing some busy work in the background here.
No problem. I'm on a roll. I'll keep going if you guys want me to.
Hey, Coach, I did just to maybe kind of set a little bit up for the episode that we just watched. Obviously, it did start off with a major switch up, and it's about a minute long at the reward challenge. So let me just kind of play that.
Yep.
Come on in, guys.
Guys, ready to get to today's reward challenge? All right, before we get to the challenge, you can drop your buffs because we are switching tribes.
What?
No way.
Oh my God.
It will be a random switch. You're each going to draw an egg. When I tell you to, you'll smash it against your body. Whatever color comes out will determine what tribe you are on. If you are blue, you are a Solani member. If you are orange, you are a Monano member. Kim, did your tribe just get better or worse?
I mean, this couldn't have gone better for us. They have all the muscle.
All right. Michael, Sabrina, Kat, Jay, Kim, Chelsea, Troy Zan, you are the new Solani tribe. Tarzan,
right?
Colton, Christina, Alicia, Monica, Leif, and Jonas, you are the new Manano tribe. In addition, the winning tribe earns the right to continue living at the One World Beach. The losing tribe will be sent to a new beach where you must create a new world.
Okay, before we start talking too much about this, this is one of the background, only for people that are on Survivor can answer for me. And he always says it, okay, guys, come on in, whatever challenge it is. How long are the tribes of you guys sitting back in the weeds or in the woods or wherever? I mean, they've got to stage you guys for the cameras. How long are you normally standing there before Jeff tells you to come on out?
It can be up to an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Yep. It can be up to an hour. They're just sitting there getting mic, going through medical, just waiting for both tribes to do that and waiting for them to do last-minute changes of the challenge. You always hear them hammering something. They got to hammer in the mat. They got to have, their dream teamers run through it. Jeff shows up at the last minute, and, away we go. So, yeah, you never get out there less than... We've never done it in 30 minutes, I'll tell you that. I'd say probably 45 minutes to an hour every time.
All right, and then just another little background thing, because it happened when you and Ozzy, arrived. What is that color or the paint it appears to be made up of? And we could see it on, at least I remember Ozzy's shirt the whole season. What is that made up of?
I think it's just regular house paint, man. I think it's just, outdoor house paint. They must take a syringe, get in the egg, because there's no egg yolk on there. There's no egg yolk on the inside. They must drill a small hole or something, get it out, and then, suck it out and then pour a syringe in there and then just put a little bit of glue over there so that you can't see it. So it definitely sticks to you the whole time.
All over clothes and faces and body parts, and I thought, oh my God, how long is this going to be on there? How hard is it going to be to get it off?
Well, I still have it on my jacket. I still have my jacket from that season, and I had a little bit of Aussie's paint on my jacket, a little bit of blue on mine, and I had a dry clean, and it's still on there. It's never coming off.
Okay, so
wow.
Obviously it was random. Thanks for that insider stuff. I like that. But it was random, but what a terrible blow to the, if I can call it, Colton's team. That, oh.
Yeah, there's a couple of things here to address. You have the viewer's perspective, you've got the producer's perspective, and you've got the participant's perspective. Typically in the game, the majority of the people do not want to swap because the majority of the people think that they're in the majority alliance, whether they are or not. So you're dreading a swap. I remember that on this last one, with the two tribes on Redemption Island, I was begging and praying every morning that there would not be some type of swap because I was sitting really pretty in my tribe. And so you don't really want to swap when you're playing. From the producer's standpoint, they're salivating, thinking, hey, we're really going to shake things up. And they like doing the switch because they don't want the game to become too predictable. And then, of course, you've got the viewer's perspective where the viewers are like, hey, we just want to see, some people like the twists and turns. Some people just want the old-fashioned Survivor. So that's kind of a mixed bag. But I can tell you that, the people that are on the Heroes tribe, with all the muscle, they are excited. The people that are on the Villains tribe, Colton's tribe, they're pretty depressed right now. But the people that are the most depressed have got to be the producers because the producers have got to be sitting there saying, wow, talk about a plan that backfired on us. I don't see how the Villains tribe can win. I really don't, and that stinks because you watch how they approach challenges. And it's not just a muscle thing. You watch, they don't want to win. They really don't. They don't want to win. They're not willing to sacrifice body and soul to get a victory.
And that became real evident in that water challenge. But I love that you have actually given them heroes and villains names to the two tribes.
It just came to me right now.
Look at them. It's like Greek gods versus peasants, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well just lay down and act like peasants, you know?
Yeah. I remember, you know, when we, I remember a couple of instances when we were on Heroes and Villains, and we were like, we actually thought, yeah, the producers put these two tribes together, you know, we had Randy and Courtney. You know, those were our bottom feeders in terms of, and Sandra, and the other team had, you know, their bottom players were what, Tom and Stephanie, and maybe Sari, but it was like they were so stacked on the other tribe. And I remember coming back and talking to the tribe, and Boston Rob was a really good coach, and he was like, guys, I'm so happy to be on this tribe. We were going to kick their butts all over the place, and, you know, I was kind of like, you know, his assistant coach, and I was like, yeah, we're going to. This is a great tribe, and that's how we were acting. You know, any team that goes out there, any army that goes out and says, well, by the way, we're going to lose, you know, you shouldn't even bother showing up. It's the worst mental mindset that you can have before entering a competition.
Right. We've got a couple of questions in the chat room. One of the questions wanted to know if you thought that there was a lot of shelter building materials at the new camp.
Well, you know, I was on both of those beaches because it's in Samoa, and so the first 14 days they were at my original beach where we built that really nice shelter. And then when we merged, we went to the other beach. That's the beach that they went to. That's the beach that the Villains tribe has been to. And so I think that I've actually really been impressed with the shelter that has been built this year. I think that Tarzan has had a lot to do with it because he's like the consistent factor on the guys for both. Leaf doesn't know what he's doing. Colton doesn't know what he's doing for building a shelter. So I really
Colton
think that Tarzan
doesn't
lift a finger. The fact that he's still there after day 14 really kind of blows my mind. But I really think that Tarzan has something to do with building the shelter in both beaches. And they have the same amount of materials. It's the same amount of materials every season. You know, three seasons that I've done it, every season has been exactly the same way and the same amount of bamboo. And the palm fronds, you've got to go and gather yourself. So I think that they had the regular amount of building materials. They probably put the building materials closer to where they wanted them to build it because it was after a challenge, so it was late in the day by the time they got back to their new camp, and that producers would probably want to give them some head start on doing it. But I don't think they had any more building materials than normal.
Okay.
One of the people in the chat room said...
How can they call it Survivor One World now when they have two camps?
Yeah, like it was said on the first episode, Survivor One World is out the window. I really like the concept. I really like the increased drama. I really like the two tribes living together. I like the twists. I like the swap. I think that the producers have done a really good job coming up with a new theme. And still having old Survivor, but having a new twist on it. But, yeah, whoever that is, totally right. One world is now two worlds, and, it's definitely, you can't really call it one world, but we have to because the title of the season.
That's
and
right.
Is that all the chat questions?
Well, House Jordan did ask, so the materials are ready for them to use.
Yeah,
I think you kind of covered that with the bamboo, but not the.
All you get is bamboo. You have the machete, and, you know, you can take rope off of your bags or off your water bottles, which is what we did. But really.
Oh, good idea.
That's just the bamboo is, you know, I mean, you don't find bamboo like that. You don't find bamboo like that. You find bamboo like that in the Philippines or
you know, something like that. But that bamboo has been treated and cured, and
dried,
you don't find bamboo
right.
like that. Yeah, you don't find bamboo like that out in the wild.
Okay, my question is this: I do recall in previous seasons when they've, you know, shaken up the tribes, that they, or maybe they've also done it at the very beginning, the schoolyard pick. Would you like to see them when they switch the tribes last episode to have a captain on each and have them select players instead of how it turned out randomly kind of crappy for one
yeah,
team?
Yeah, because, you know, you've got two sides of that coin. I mean, you say, hey, we really want to have the randomness of it so that nobody is picked last or so that it's not uncomfortable or so that, you know, whatever. But at least a schoolyard pick pretty much gives you a balanced couple of teams. You know, what we have now, even if you love the fact that it could be random, it sucks now because you've got heavily lopsided tribes. So
Lola wants
I'd rather
to know,
have,
if,
I'd,
you,
I'd rather,
if Coach was in charge, what would you change about the game?
If I were in charge of the entire Survivor or just this particular season?
She didn't indicate which she was asking about.
Well, you'll see what I would do soon enough, but that has nothing to do. That's just a little tease for everybody out there. You can start wagging your tongues on that one. But
got me interested.
If I were in charge of the whole thing, I'd make everybody go on an individual vision quest so that they had to go out and spend 3 days by themselves, like on an exile island. And after that, they would truly appreciate the camaraderie and company and support system that you get from having other people out there. And then once you get together, I'd really have the aspect of survival play a bigger part in the game instead of starting out with all the drama. You know, I'd probably have, you know, a two-hour premiere, and I'd have that two-hour premiere be no challenges, just building, surviving the misery. I mean, what the audience really needs to see is what it's like to spend a night out there with a leaky shelter and it be 60 degrees and you're literally feeling like you're going to go into hypothermia and you feel like you can't make it through the night and you're sobbing and your body is racked with, you know, uncontrollable shaking and it feels like Chinese water torture when wherever you move in the shelter you're getting dripped on. And I would like for the audience to experience 5 minutes of that. So anyway, I would, you know what else I would change? If I were Chef Gross and I was in that spot, I would have the Dragon Slayer immunity, and that would be my choice each tribal council, or maybe even before a challenge or after a challenge. It would be my choice of giving individual immunity to the person that I thought was the most noble of survivors, like in the actual survivor aspect or in the chivalrous aspect or in the leadership aspect. Because, you know, eventually, as much as we pervertedly love to watch these reality shows, much like the Romans used to watch the gladiators, you know, tear each other apart, you know, it really is an unbalanced skewing of our society, and it's encouraging people who are at their weakest points to make decisions that affect their character. And that's a little bit of what we got into, you know, that character building when I talked to, you know, Rod the first time. We talked about, you know, what it is like to go out there and forge your character. At this point, Big Brother, you know, Amazing Race, Survivor, all these shows get people out there. They get them to the most tension and stress that they can have, and then they self-destruct. If there were somebody there rewarding the traits that we need to have back in our society, humility, chivalry, you know, strong character, honor, integrity, you know, people that can survive out there, that thrive in the wild instead of, you know, crumble in the wild. Those are the traits that I would honor each week and say,
now,
this week we're giving an award for honesty, or this week we're giving an award for that.
Wow,
I think, you know,
sounds really
I think the participants might, you know, maybe get upset with an outsider, if you will, doing that. But let me tell you, as a viewer, there are so many times when I've seen a Survivor player that I thought was, you know, somebody that I could get behind, that was strong, that was a survivor, that wasn't, you know, complaining or all those things, and all of a sudden they get voted off, and I feel cheated as a viewer that I didn't get to see them continue. I mean, the very first one voted off, we had an injury, but the very first one voted off, I think Nina, the cop, I thought she had great potential if she stayed in the game. And it just gets, I feel cheated sometimes when these people leave early.
I can definitely
empathize with that. And you're right. You know, it's definitely where you're looking and saying, man, I wish that person would have had more of a shot.
Someone wants to know, Mr. Mack in our chat room wants to know what you think about the Kimberly and Chelsea alliance, the secret alliance that they have.
So there's several things. Let's move forward a little bit. That's if that's Captain Mack, I'm going to say hi to him. If it's just another Mr. Mack, then I'll say hi to you as well. But there is a Captain Mack out there that I know well. So you know, when forward, you know, who's really playing the game? I think Jay's playing a smart game. I think he's you know, using that Southern charm and you know, just kind of like sliding through. I think that he was very smart to not go against Colton and the other guys and make a big fuss about going to tribal council, because you could tell he didn't want to do it. But at the same time, you know, he didn't make that big of a wave against it because he knew it was a losing battle. So I think he's doing a good job. I think that, you know, Kim obviously finding the idol. I've liked her from the very beginning. Their secret alliance, you know, she said something really smart, and she was just like, hey, we can't be seen together that much. You know, the best thing to do on Survivor, unless you have an alliance like I had last time, which was like ironclad, and we basically were like,
yep,
we can do this however we want to because we have the majority and we don't have to kowtow to anybody. We don't even have to hide it. The best thing to do if you don't have that is to get an alliance with somebody and then never talk to them except for 5 minutes on the path right before tribal, so that you know what both sides are talking about. That's the best alliance.
Yeah,
I think it's smart that they did that.
And I think Kimberly, she started becoming one of my favorites now. I think she really has positioned herself well.
Right.
Yep.
She's a smart girl. I think she's smart, and she knows the game. She seems to be laying low, making her moves when she is not being watched, and playing the game right. I don't see her being, you know, loud and, you know, making waves with anyone. She's really staying under the radar, you know, doing, like you said, sort of playing, you know, the game smart, where she's doing what she needs to do when she's not out in front of everybody and, you know.
Yep.
I think she's a smart girl, so we might see her come out after the merge with, like she said right now, she's got two alliances going. She's still sticking with the women's alliance, but this is a secondary alliance that she has to fall back on. Or when the merge gets there, she can pick and choose from whichever of the two alliances she desires to go with. That's smart gameplay. You know, when you get to the merge and you can choose between two alliances, whichever one, you know, appears to be the strongest and have the best numbers to go with, you know, you've set yourself up pretty well.
Yep.
So kudos to her.
Who do you think are the front runners for the you know, give me
I can't hear you, coach. Say it again. Hello?
I said, tell me who you think the front runners are going to be. Give me three or four people who you think are going to get to the end of the game. I know it's early to predict, but I'd kind of like to hear both of your thoughts.
I Coach, I am so hesitant of saying it because every time I pick somebody of a favorite, they end up leaving. Monica was one that I was hoping would go far because I really liked her. I don't know if she was ever set up in a good position when she was on the women's tribe. But I guess right now, I would say from this last episode, Kimberly. I think you're right about Colton. I think he's kind of the person in every season, and you had Brandon, that we, as viewers, was waiting for him to get kicked off. We're waiting for Colton to get kicked off. Many people were waiting for Russell to get kicked off. You know, there's those people every season that you want, but they keep staying and staying and staying. I would have thought Colton might be able to stay longer, but you're right. He's going to get people are going to turn on him, I think, in a matter of time. I think the people that are kind of in the background as far as their airtime and whatever, I think I would have to, I don't see Tarzan. I think maybe Troy might be doing a good job, but, who else?
I love that they touched on his vocabulary at Tribal.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was so funny.
I just love that. That was one of the most funny things. And Jeff actually almost tried to get him to say what his profession was. And
yeah. He
said, "The game is afoot, Jeff." He just rolled. I was
that is too funny. I got to say that, I actually rewound it. I rewind it quite a few times during an episode. Very, very rarely do I do it in Tribal, but I did it in Tribal because I wanted to show my wife's just that Jeff was really tickled. There's very few times where Jeff really gets tickled and surprised, and he was definitely surprised when he did that. It was hilarious.
Speaking of your wife, congratulations on your wedding,
Yes. Coach. I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, speaking of your wife, congratulations on your wedding, Coach.
I know. Listen, I turned 40 this year. Coach Wade, getting married, it's the best thing in the world. I've got a beautiful little son. He's just turned 3. He's very smart. He just starts playing the violin. He's waving at me right now as I'm giving him some
feedback
for the night.
Oh.
And, he's amazing. And so I just really feel blessed. You know, I thought a couple of years ago, I thought, man, maybe Coach is never going to get married. But I really feel blessed. I'm really in a good spot.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so, so happy for you. We have a caller that would like to talk to you. If you wouldn't mind taking a caller.
Sure. I love callers.
Okay. Let's bring her up. Michelle from the Bronx, thank you for calling in tonight. You're on the Rad Real. No, you are on. I almost slipped there. I have to get this right now. You are on Dragon Slayer Radio. I have to catch myself. Michelle from the Bronx, you are on Dragon Slayer Radio with Coach Wade.
Hey, Terry. Hey, Paul. Hey, Coach. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. What's going on with you, man? Congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm loving life right now.
That's it. That's how it's supposed to be.
Hey, I just want to interrupt just a second here, just to see if Coach remembers. But when you called in the first time with Ron, Michelle did get up on the air, and at one point she said, "Coach, you just got Bronx." Do you remember that happening?
I do remember. Listen, as soon as you came on, as soon as I heard your voice, I was like, wait a second. I was wondering if you called in the last time or the time before that, but I remembered it, and yes, I remember when you said that.
Yep, you got Bronx, and you're going to keep getting Bronx.
And she has T-shirts out now that say you get Bronx.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. You touched base on a few things, and I was on hold, so I'm going to have to rewind on you. I think one of my favorite lines of the night, and I don't know if you want to with me or not on this, but when Kim found the idol, she told Chelsea, and the best line was, "The idol's in my crotch."
I remember that.
I don't know. At that time, yes, I was a very, that was probably the most memorable line of the night. At that time.
No, I got a second one that's memorable, but that one is a very, I love that line. Coming from her, she's hot and everything. You can tell me anything's in your crotch and I'll pay attention. Hell, you can't wear a crotch and I'm there. Like, my ears go up, my hairs on my neck fly up. Yeah, I'm all over it. But here's the funny
good
part.
One.
She's so damn skinny, I'm really scared to know how fucking deep she went with it. And that's that. That is like code, and that's what she said, and every other tagline you can throw away with that. But seriously, she's like down to bones right now. That shit would have been bulging.
Yep. She,
and you would
she
know.
Looked almost as, she looked almost as thin as you on Exile Island, Coach. Man. I know.
I forgot to play our disclaimer. Sometimes when Michelle comes up on the air, we should play our disclaimer, and I didn't play this disclaimer tonight for Michelle.
Are you going to do it or no?
Michelle sometimes requires the disclaimer.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem, like, going there. So the second one that I want to say was when they had the challenge. And they were in the water, and the Anything Goes challenge, and Colton is holding on to the ball like it was his precious little diamond, and he's under the water, and what does he come up saying? Help me! Like the fly.
Oh! I wondered if anybody else heard that. I did hear that.
Yes, he was so funny.
That was classic. I was actually really surprised. That's like the most effort that he's given in 14 days.
It is the most effort he has put out in 14 days.
He was holding on to a ball. Come on, it was second nature.
Only for Michelle.
Thing. It was the biggest thing. He had his hands around in 20 days or 13 days.
Only for Michelle from the Bronx.
Okay. On a serious note, how do you feel, Coach, about Mike tossing Leaf around the way he did?
Ooh.
I was not happy with that. I think that, you know, I really think that he should have just been disqualified from that because he knows the guy is small, but just to, like, chuck him like he was, like, you know, a stick off on the ground, you know, it was pretty bad to see.
Yeah. I think that that's a hard one because, you know, before that game, that's one of the more physical games, and before that game, Jeff says, okay, so you can't purposely duck people under the water. If you want to take somebody's top off, you know, if you want to rip somebody's top off to distract them, talking about the girls, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, you can. Just remember it might come back to haunt you later in the game. So he says that, but it really is kind of a challenge where he encourages people to play dirty. So when he did that, you know, I mean, I watched it and I just thought, like, I could understand it from a competitive standpoint. You get so focused on the game that you really want to, like, do above and beyond for your tribe. Did I think it was unnecessary? Absolutely. I think that, you know, doing it for, you know, against Leaf and also against one of the females, yeah, you can't really play dirty like that and get away with it. And finally, everybody knew they were going to win. So it's
right.
Like you don't have to go. I mean, it's not like it's a, you know, 2-2 draw and your name is on the chopping block. So, you know, I thought it was over the line, yes. But I could understand where he was coming from just because in the challenges that you're encouraged to be dirty, you know, you do kind of get into it like crazy.
Yeah. I was expecting a little bit more from the girls. Like, Alicia talks all this big game, and she really didn't throw down, you know. She was pretty pathetic, if you ask me.
Right.
Hey, you know, the only thing wild about her is her hair.
Michelle? Yeah,
yeah,
my God. I told Cherry on the telephone a couple weeks back, and we said, what does she remind you of? And she says, a cavewoman. Her hair was just so wild.
Yeah,
or
crazy.
Even one of these street ladies, a shopping cart, you know, pushing it down. Her hair is just a wild mess. Michelle,
It is. I don't know whether your initial call into the show is the problem, but we are getting a little pop out of your phone.
I'll isolate that.
Well, thank you, hon. I can't wait to talk to you again on Monday.
I will call in. Thanks, Coach, for talking to me.
Yeah, call in earlier next time.
Well, no, apparently it's my phone is popping or something like that, so maybe I'll just call back. Who the hell knows? But people call in.
Yeah, right. That's what I was... Michelle, that's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, try calling back and see if it goes away.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, hon.
Bye.
So I've got to run. I've got a movie. You know, my movie 180. I'm actually buying it, and I've got my soccer team just showing up at my house right now. And,
oh my goodness!
So I've got to take off, and we're going to watch 180.
All right. Well, Coach, thank you so very much. We can't wait till next week to do this all over again on Dragon Slayer Radio. We've enjoyed it this week. We look forward to it to do it all over again. You take care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you then.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
You have a
all right,
great...
spread the word, Coach.
Say goodbye
we'll
to your little son
week.
For us.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun. And Michelle just called back in, and, oh, I guess she hung up.
Huh.
Maybe she was just wanting to talk
want
to Coach and not to us.
Apparently she doesn't want to talk to us, Jerry.
I guess not, just a coach.
All right. We might tell you guys a little background. When we invited Coach, Cherry did most of this, but when he was invited to be a regular co-host, we didn't want to say, hey, we sometimes do two-hour shows. You know, he might have said, I can't do it that long. And we know how busy and how many things he's got going on. So we basically told him an hour. So there may be times when he's able to stay a little bit longer, but for the most part, that's what the agreement was, that he'd come on for an hour. The other thing is he does occasionally, like every other Thursday, have, what was it, Cherry, a soccer coach? You tell that part.
I don't think it's soccer. I think it's his... orchestra that gets together. But he will, you know, he may be coming in at 7:30. Well, at 7:30 his time, it's 9:30 my time, it's 10:30 on Eastern time. So he'll be coming in a half hour after the show normally starts. So Paul and I will go ahead and start the show at regular time. We will chat with y'all and maybe talk about some other things other than Survivor to begin the show. And then we'll, you know, start talking about Survivor once Coach gets here at 30 minutes after the hour. So it may not be as often as every other week. It may, you know, just be once or twice before Survivor ends. But we just wanted to let you know that may happen once or twice in the upcoming weeks. So if it happens, please don't get all up in arms about it. It's Coach does have other obligations, and we wanted to let you know ahead of time that he's working, you know, around his schedule to do this for us, and we're willing to work around our schedule to, you know, have him on. So
yep. Hey,
we're so
I'm
thankful
so
that he's doing this with us, and I am absolutely thrilled that he is here with us on Thursdays to recap Survivor One World, and hopefully he will join us in, you know, subsequent seasons of Survivor as well. So this is something that I just look forward to every week, and I think, this is a marriage made in heaven. I will tell you, Mr. Mack, thank you very much. Paul and I had done a test show. Michelle, I am going to get you in just a moment. Paul and I had done a test show so that we could record Coach Wade's intro to the show. And we weren't planning on it being anybody but Paul, Coach, and I. I had opened the chat room in the event that we were able to show Coach some other technical issues about the switchboard, the chat room, that kind of thing. And somehow I don't want to say which one of us, but somehow the tweets weren't turned off, and it went out on Twitter that the Rad Reality Show was doing a test show. Paul and I didn't realize that the tweets went out. We didn't realize this until I was getting ready to shut down the chat, to shut down the switchboard much, much later after we had already recorded everything and the chat room, you know, we hadn't done the chat room at all. It was behind my screen. I hadn't seen the chat room all night long because it was behind my other screens. And I look in and I pull up the chat room to get ready to close it, and there's people's names still sitting in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh. There have been people sitting in our chat room listening to our entire show.
It's not a secret anymore. Yep, this is like if you had a three-way call with, you know, friends or whatever, and you figure it's just the three of you chatting with each other, and you come to find out that somebody's hacked in and listened to your conversation. But it was, I finally figured it out. I will fess up. It was me. I was the one that scheduled it. I had scheduled test shows before, and so I thought I knew exactly all the things I needed to hit, and I clicked on them. I put the title. I put all the stuff that's supposed to be put in there. Boom, 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 boom. Here I already know how to do it. Well, there's a drop-down window where you choose what kind of show you want to do, and I never went to the drop-down window.
Fortunately, the people sitting in there were our regular people, and we were able to go to them individually and say, please don't tell anyone. And they were all so wonderful about it and said, I wouldn't think of telling anyone. This is really great, and, you know, we're so happy for you. And so
yes.
I don't know
Thank
how
you.
Big of a surprise it was for everyone, but we've enjoyed it so much, and I'm so thankful that he's with us.
Yes, me too. I just want to personally, we've done it via messaging, but I want to personally thank those people that that said they would keep it a secret and that they appreciated what we were doing, and thank you again. I won't name names, but thank you again.
Yes, thank you from me too. Miss Bronxy.
You.
How are you, dear?
I'm all right. Am I still popping?
Nope.
Yeah. My phone doesn't need to be replaced. Boom, boom. My phone never needs to be replaced.
Okay.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Paul.
I have heard
the views expressed by guests and callers to the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show, and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
Okay.
I just want to say that over the years and the shows, that occasionally happens. It's not your fault, your phone's fault. It's sometimes just how it gets connected initially with the main switchboard at Blog Talk, and the hanging up and calling back often does fix it. So, no, don't replace your phone.
You were just cracking, girl.
I know. I was going both ways, man. Oh, no, I wasn't. I didn't do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I missed you guys.
It's so good to hear your voice. I have missed
Thanks,
you dearly.
Too. I'm glad you guys called in to the show. That was really cool, both of you guys. It was very comforting.
Well,
so,
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Somebody would have had to have me tied up in a shed somewhere for me to miss that show.
I mean, wait. First of all, Bronxy, what were you worried about? You were in the chat room before your appearance because you weren't the first to come on, and you were begging. You were begging. You better call in, you people. You better call in.
Right.
The only reason I didn't call in is I thought, you know, nobody is doing this. I wonder if anybody's doing this for Rich and Connie. I'm going to call and talk with them. So that's the only reason I didn't call you, and I figured there'd be plenty of calls for Michelle, and there were.
Oh, thank you. I meant it in general for everybody to call in.
Well,
that was a great show.
It was great what Superpass did for all of you and for their business. You know, it's not often that a company takes that much interest in what their end users are wanting from them, and for Superpass to bring four super fans up there and say, you know, what are the people out there wanting from us?
Is big.
That says a lot to their customers about, you know, the fact that they want to please their customers, and they couldn't have picked four better people.
Agreed.
They just simply couldn't have. I mean,
I have to
go ahead, Paul.
I'm sorry. I'm never sure what you've done. I have to ask a question. Of Michelle.
Go for
it. Was that a real brick wall behind you, or do you?
Yeah, I'm from the Bronx. They brought in bricks and they built a friggin' wall for me, Paul. It's green screen. Come on.
How was that interesting to see this big green screen? Were you able to see what we saw?
No, only on a monitor in front of us, or like out of the camera angle.
And were you
I was with Kevin. I was with Kevin.
Oh, Kev.
Dude.
Were you and Kev sitting off to the side while Rich and Connie were there?
Yeah, we were in the control room.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it was certainly fun to watch that show. I can't wait till we get... I think we'll save some of this for Monday's show, so that if Coach throws this podcast out to all his listeners, I don't want to have a whole lot of other chat on here off topic, but I can't wait for Monday so we can chat about everything you did up there and hear your stories. And
I got two whoppers.
I can't wait to hear them. I'm sitting on the edge of my couch right now. I want to hear them so bad.
It was a great experience. I am really glad I got to go. I am not glad that I'm back home. I'd like to be more out there. But that
are
might
you thinking
come.
About moving?
No. Nope, my animals missed me, so done deal. I can tell you what, my bear likes spaghetti, if anybody wants to know that, you know.
Aw,
he must be Italian. But, yeah, I'm just comfortable being home, you know, and doing what I do, but it was nice being out there and seeing, you know, another state and stuff. I have never been to Washington, so, you know, it's off the list. I only got, like, 30 more to go.
It looked beautiful. It really did. And I would love to get up that way sometime. I know if they ever have another rainbow reality up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely going to Kale's for rainbow. That's something on my bucket list that if she ever does another one of those.
In fact, when Missy said, Rich, you've gone to a lot of these, which was your favorite, remember what he said?
Rainbow.
That one, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, he talked about that a lot.
Yeah. That's
hey, Sherry, I understand you holding off on additional topics right now for the podcast. Did we want to talk any more about Survivor?
You know, I had like 5 pages of notes here.
Of course you did.
I did. I literally sat down and wrote verbatim almost every word said on Survivor tonight. Because I didn't know exactly how, you know, we've never worked with Coach before, and I didn't know how deep he would want to go into it or exactly what he would want to do.
So you want to be prepared.
I wanted to be prepared just in case. And, you know, that's just how I roll. But I think he went over, you know, pretty much everything that we needed to touch on. I'm looking over things now.
Well, while you're looking, one thing that we talked about, or I talked about with you on the telephone earlier, was I loved how Jeff, and he does this at tribals often, or many times, where he basically calls their tribe out for interesting. You're saying that you have a weak tribe and only 14 days in, and you just voted out arguably one of the strongest people on your team.
Right.
And I thought, way to go, Jeff. Because Monica was both one of Cherry's and my favorites on the show, and it was tough to see him go.
And that was his exact words, verbatim, Paul.
Wow.
That was his exact words. And I just hated to see her go. She was the strongest player on that tribe. And, you know, what really ticked me off was they sat there and they talked about what a leader she was for the tribe. They talked about her strengths and, you know, how great she was, gave her all these compliments, and then sat there and voted her out. You know,
yep.
It was like just rude, you know. I mean, you know, there's blind sides and then there's really rude blind sides, and that was a really rude blind side, in my opinion.
Yep.
To sit there and say, you know, how yes, she could be a tribe leader, and yes, she was, you know, great for the team, you know, and just...
I feel there's a but coming.
Yes, I feel there's a but coming, but, you know, she can be seen as a threat. Well, you know, when you need somebody to, you know, get you through a challenge and you can't do it yourself, you need somebody that has the strength to get you through that challenge. And you're going to see that person as a threat? Sorry, but you need them right now. And they're so dumb that they voted her off. And now Colton is absolutely right. They are going to go to tribal. Every single tribal council, they're the ones that's going to be there voting somebody out from their own tribe. Because
yep. And that's one of the factors that's going to be his downfall.
They are the peasants now, for sure. And they don't have
to do. Yeah, I don't know how many more topics of Survivor you want to talk on. I do want to get in, just so you know, what we saw for next week's thing. But are there any other highlights as you look over? Oh, check on page
four. I felt bad
here.
When she caught the chicken. She caught the chicken in that wire box.
And it escaped.
And I was like, you know, at first I was like, yes, you know, Monica did good. You know, she got the chicken. You know, maybe they'll keep her around. Because I saw that it was leading toward them, you know, getting her off the tribe. And I thought, yeah, you know, Michelle's going to be, you know, I mean, I'm not Michelle. Monica's going to be you know, maybe they'll keep her on. And she caught a chicken. That's going to save her butt, you know, and then the thing runs out the side of that box and just waddles off. I was like, oh, no, oh, that's not good. And it just seems like everything they did just backfired. And
well, it's how it always goes, because they're like off kilter.
And
you know,
poor
like
Monica, again, when they were doing the immunity challenge. She was the strongest one. She was the one walking backwards with that big bucket because nobody else, none of the rest of them was going to. So she wound up falling twice because she was trying to walk backwards, you know, carry that big bucket and go backwards. And she wound up falling on her butt twice and getting right back up and, you know, maintaining with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like they didn't give her any credit for anything. All they did was see her as a threat. And I thought, you know, that just isn't fair. And it was, I don't think anybody else really saw her that way except for Colton, and Colton put that in their heads. That's in my opinion. I don't think the rest of them really saw her as that much of a threat until he started running his mouth. I could be wrong, but Paul, what do you think?
I 100% agree with you. I don't even think when the girls were fighting and I thought that they're going to have a hard time winning challenges, this is even worse. I really think they're going to have a problem. Because think of who they've got.
I know. I absolutely agree. How many of you knew what aphasia was before tonight's tribal council?
I don't know. It sounded like it needed some cream or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking it was some skin disease as well. And
you need to rub cream on?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about Mr. Kosher and his, in Matt's lie, I was wondering, rather Matt's lie, I should say, in Big Brother, and I was thinking, is this real or is he lying about it?
Aphagia.
So it is
real. I actually
real.
Watched with the closed caption on, and they showed me how to spell it.
Did you look it up?
I didn't look it up, but it's the inability to remember people's names.
Yeah,
Anna.
That's what he was saying.
When Phil asked him to, name each person in the tribe,
Are you pulling that leg?
At first I was wondering, is he for real? And then, as the further he got, you saw him really struggling. And when he got to Jonas, he was just like, And Monica had to tell him it started with a J. And then he got it. And Jess said, if she wouldn't have told you that it started with a J, we could have been here all night, right? And he said, I'm not sure you would have wanted to go that far, but, I guess you would have, if you would have wanted to waste that much time, yes, but I have never, ever known anyone with aphasia.
Yeah, my nun teachers were like that. My mom might have that. She keeps calling me my sister's name. I don't know.
Well,
no, that was pretty funny to hear him go through it. But, sometimes you don't have room in your brain for all of the tedious crap, and he's holding on to all the important stuff.
That's right. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to sneak and do this real quick. We have a friend holding, one of my very dear friends is holding, and she's just been listening to the show. She has not come up on air, and she's not in the chat room. And I don't know why she hasn't been able to get in the chat room and why she's just listening on the phone. She might not be at home tonight, but I'm gonna grab her and bring her up on air just to say hi. Vicky, are you there? Vicky?
Yes?
Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? Girl, you're live on the Rad Reality Show on Dragon Slayer Radio.
With Coach Wade.
Yes.
Hey, Vicky.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good, enjoying the weather until we had the storms this evening, but that's not bad neither.
People in the chat, I don't know if you are guests in the chat room, everybody's saying hi, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Well, tell everyone I said hi. No, I
just
still
want
not,
hey,
still
everyone.
Not.
Vicky says hi.
I just wanted to grab you and say hi before we close the show. We're just 5 minutes out from closing the show, so I just wanted to grab you and say hi real quick before we close the show, Vicky.
All right. Thanks, Cherry. I'll see you guys later. Have a great
okay, well, you take care, hon.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Bye.
Have a great night.
Don't hang her up.
Okay. We do have to get ready to close this. We have just a few minutes, and I'm going to be playing a clip from Ron before we go. But I do want to say that I've been asking for prayers for baby Savannah for a few weeks now, and I do have an update on her. Savannah made it through her surgery, and baby Savannah is home. So I'm so happy to give that report. She just did wonderfully making it through the surgery, and it was a long drive to, you know, get her from Cincinnati back to Kentucky, but she is now home and doing well. So thank you for all of your prayers. Keep Ronnie Talbot and Dan and everyone else in your prayers. Someone who is a regular here in our chat room that you all know and love, Chi-Town Joe's mom is in the hospital. She's in ICU, so please keep her in your prayers. Dina's stepfather is in the hospital, and also keep him in your prayers. Thank you all very much. I'm going to be closing tonight's show with Ron, as we always do. I want to thank you all so much for coming tonight to our first episode of Dragon Slayer Radio. We enjoy your presence with us, and we always like for you to be here with us in the chat room, but if you cannot be, you can always find the podcast and listen to us later. I hope you join us on Sunday for Louis Stravato's The Amazing Race Recap. Here's Ron.
Amazing race recap.
The amazing race recap. And on Monday for Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. So here is Ron to close tonight's show.
Thank you. Good night, everyone. Here's a song I'm going to play. It's called Sometimes It Comes Storm. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
All sail the sea of faith, find out before too long. How quickly blue skies can grow dark, and gentle winds grow strong. And suddenly fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still we sail on knowing that our Lord.
Love you guys. God bless you guys.
Thank you all so much again for being here with us on Dragon Slayer Radio. We'll see you next Thursday. God bless.
Good night.